Barbarian tribes of Rome, Anglo-Saxons, Kent, and Kent kings. Aside from the Isle of Wight, Kent is the only Anglo-Saxon kingdom that we know of which is populated largely by Jutes. It was the first territory on British soil where Anglo-Saxons converted to Christianity. It is also interesting to note that Kent claimed direct descendancy from the legendary Hengist and Horsa. Late 6th century Kent had a lot going for it. They were already having marital connections with the Merovingians from Francia, and in fact, the Frankish kings probably held dominion over the region, as early influences of the kingdom can be seen in Kentish artifacts. Kent even established regular trade, and in the following century, Kentish influence was also present in other European kingdoms and territories, such as the Rhineland, Thuringia, Frisia, and western Normandy. However, marital relations were key here. They weren't just done out of a sense of love or duty. They were very much a powerful political tool in securing allies and growing one's influence. Athelbert of Kent, although a pagan, married a Christian woman from the Merovingian dynasty and daughter, the Cheribert I, named Bertha. It was thanks to this couple that Christianity began to spread in England, and it would be the bishops of Athelbert that gave the Angles their first Christian king in Redwald of East Anglia. Sadly, Kent would not retain its glory for long. In the later years of the 7th century, both Northumbria and Mercia grew into power. It ultimately, the Mercian kings would dominate Kent by the end of the century, though it wouldn't last long. There is evidence that Canterbury, at least, was still a powerful urban center, as both it and Rochester still had mints producing silver currency known as scetas. As the 9th century rolled by, Wessex held supremacy over these other kingdoms, and Kent was in disarray. The Viking attacks of the next few centuries didn't really help, as the raids left the kingdom in ruins. Thorkell the Tall himself led the raid on Canterbury in 1011, decimating the city. By the time William of Normandy came to conquer England, Kent had nowhere near as much power as it did in its early days. Notable kings. Athelbert of Kent, possibly the best known ruler of this kingdom. Athelbert ascended the throne in 589 and ended his reign when he died on February the 24th in 1616. He was regarded as the third Bretwalda, according to the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, and Bede. During his reign, he was the first pagan Anglo-Saxon king to allow Christianity to be openly practiced within his realm, personally inviting a mission from Rome in 597. During his early reign, he held overlordship over East Saxons and successfully converted his nephew, Sabert of Essex, to Christianity. Similar to Redwald, who became the first Anglian Christian king, Sabert would become the first Saxon Christian king. From his relationship with these two kings, we can ascertain that Kent held at least nominal dominion over Essex and East Anglia. Mercia was probably also under Athelbert's dominion, though this isn't backed by enough archaeological or historical evidence. Athelbert was known for his efforts to Christianize his people. However, he is also known for his code of law, the oldest such document in any Germanic society of the Middle Ages. These laws covered punishments and compensations for personal slights that were divided by social classes. British historian Patrick Wormald had divided the laws into 9 sections. The first section dealt with compensation for clergy, the second for the king and his direct dependents, the third for the earls, earldermen, the fourth for churls, the fifth for the semi-free men, the sixth for personal injuries, and the seventh for women. The eighth was for servants, and the ninth was for slaves. Usually they would be compensated with money, such as shillings or scetas. One thing we do not know is why this code was written in the first place. One possible reason might be that Athelbert wanted to civilize his people after they had accepted Christianity, the religion of both the Roman Church and their superior Merovingian rulers, and next of kin. Issuing this law code would not only make Athelbert the first king to import Christianity in Britain, but also one of the first, if not the first, lawmakers. It is also speculated by historians that Athelbert's reign saw the first coins minted in Britain, rather than the first coins that weren't Roman. There is no hard physical evidence for this, though coins were already in use during the reign of his son and heir, Edbald, and Athelbert himself does mention shillings in his code of law. Athelbert's death in 616 showed just how influential a monarch he was. His son is said to have refused baptism, and that the church's shock and condemnation married his stepmother. Roughly at the same time, the East Saxon king Sibert, the first Saxon king to receive baptism, baptism, and next of kin, Eadbald, also died, and his three pagan sons took the throne. Kentish Christian missionaries were expelled from both kingdoms, signifying both a revolt against Christianity and the overlordship of Kent. Athelbert's hard work seemed to have been for nothing, at least at the time. Windrod of Kent ascended the throne around 690 after a period of full instability and no clear rulers in Kent. Most of the kingdoms were effectively under Mercian overlordship at this time, and Winthred's predecessor, his father Ecgbert, died in 673 when both of his sons were barely toddlers. In 692, Wifthred ruled jointly with another Kentish co-ruler named Swafhrd after he might have ruled alongside his son Athelbert II. During his early years as king, Wifthred made peace with Ine of Wessex. Ine's predecessor, King Caedwalla, had previously conquered Kent and installed a puppet king named Mool. He was burned to death by the Kentish common folk. Ine paid compensation for the deed, while Wifthred probably gave him some land in return. Wifthred is also known as a lawmaker. While the date isn't known for certain, historians suggest that late 695 was the year when Wifthred finalized his code, and Ine in Wessex doing the same a year earlier, suggesting that the two monarchs worked together in their years of peace. The laws themselves deal in ecclesiastical affairs. Of its 28 chapters, only the final four have nothing to do with the church. Reading through the laws, we can assume the church was given a lot of privileges and enjoyed high position in society. Pagan beliefs were still around, though practicing them resulted in severe penalties, according to Wifthred's laws. Not a whole lot is known about Eadbert III Priam. What we know is that he ruled from 796 to 798 and was the last king of independent Kent. He came into power directly after the death of Offa of Mercia, who had controlled Kent directly before he died. Before that, Eadbert was an exile enjoying Charlemagne's protection. His reign wasn't long, as merely 2 years after his ascension. The Mercian king Cynwulf sacked Kent and captured him. Depending on the sources, Eadbert was either blinded and had his hands cut off or was released by Cynwulf in a token of goodwill. Whatever the case may be, Eadbert was the last ruler of Kent and was not a puppet king. Others that are notable, much of Kent's history after Athelbert include kings from other houses, such as Mull. Mull was installed as king by his brother, Caedwalla of Wessex, in 686 after their joint conquest of Kent and the Isle of Wight. But reports state that the very next year, the Kentish rebellion against Mull and burned him as a result. Following Mull, there were several joint reigns that included kings Swafhrd, Oswin, Swafbert, and Winthred. Not all of these rulers were from Kent, as some had family ties with Wessex and Essex. Finally, we should mention Baldred of Kent. He ruled over the kingdom from 823 to possibly 827, and he is interesting to historians because it's not clear whether he was a puppet king of Mercia or the actual last Kentish-born king on the throne. So of the Heptarchy, that's two down. Next time, we'll be heading to Essex. Now, the sources for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture, by Owens, Attila the Hun, by Worrell, The Burgundians, by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths, by Burns, and The History of the Vandals, by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.